looking at the time, we probably ought to move on. I could mess around and have a lot of fun with this. We're starting to get used to it a little bit, like I said. And maybe next week we'll also have people text us on songs they want to hear. And turn to Hebrews chapter 3. But we'll go to 2 Timothy chapter 3 first. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. You know 2 Timothy chapter 3 is talking about the end times. And like I said this morning, the end times you say, is this it? No, it ain't yet. Not yet. If I had an image up here this morning and we could go through Daniel chapter 2, if I could show you the image of Daniel chapter 2. No, I need to turn it on. If I could go through the image of Daniel chapter 2, I could show you that image. You know, the kingdoms, the four kingdoms that were prophesied that was going to be kingdoms on this earth that were going to be in great power. If I could show you that today, I'd say we're right at the ankle or even past the ankle of the foot on those images of Daniel chapter 2. And America and around the world that we're seeing all this stuff going on and, you know, and things unstable and all these people out of work. And you know what? You say, are you discouraged? And nope, I'm not discouraged one bit. I'm not disheartened one bit. You know why? I'm just excited that the Bible's true, which I knew it was, but I'm just excited that God's showing other people the Word of God, and they can't do nothing about it. And I'm excited about that God's just exposing His Word, and people are saying, what's happening? What's going on? I just said, hey, the Bible's just real. It's coming to pass. I watched a guy, me and Jesse went into the country store this morning. I got on the back of my truck, and hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. The guy walked by, and I said, hey, man, good. I said, good to be saved, ain't it? And the guy goes, it's Sunday. And that was it. And he was reading that sign, you know, and hell, he lifted up his eyes. I don't want nobody to go to hell. I don't want my worst enemy to go to hell. I really don't. I don't want nobody to go to hell. And that ought to be the attitude of every Christian. You don't want nobody to die and go to hell. Why? Because Jesus described it, and it's a bad place. Now, I don't want nobody to go through the tribulation period. I don't want nobody. We got this sign up here, got the tribulation lined out, and Dr. Rubin did that back in the early 70, somewhere in there. And he did that, and I don't want nobody to go through the tribulation period. Really don't. I don't want I pray for my kids, my grandkids. My kids are saved. My grandkids, I pray for them. I don't want them to go through the tribulation period. And if the Lord tarries, say if the Lord tarries, my grandkids grow up and they have children, I don't want my great-grandkids to go through it. I don't want none of my descendants to go through it, especially when I could do something about it by living for God and praying for them and asking God to hear and answer my prayers. But Doc used to always say this in the classroom. He said, when you pray, you better have grounds to pray on. And what he means is this. He said, you better be walking with the Lord. And the Lord hears prayers, but it's yes, no, not now. And you know, God hears prayers. But I want God to hear my prayers. I want Him to hear it. I want Him to answer. I want Him to answer my prayers. The Bible says this, and we're going to get to Hebrews chapter 3 in a minute. It says, know this, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. We're, you know, it's perilous times. Men should be lovers of their own self. That's been going on for years. But men are lovers of their own self. Men love themselves, that's for sure. But it says men should be lovers of their own selves. They don't care about their children. They don't care about their grandkids. They don't care about their wives. They don't care about nothing. They're just lover of themselves. All they care about what they want and what they're going to get. And it says men shall be lovers of their own self. You don't want to be that. I mean, you want to, you know, the fellow that started, General William Booth, that started the Salvation Army, his message for every Christmas was others, others. And what happens is when you get saved and you start walking God, you're supposed to be concerned about other people rather than yourself. Some people are so preoccupied with themselves. They are so occupied, well, me, 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 me. And somebody gave me that song, the whole song. I used to always mock it. It's all about me, it's all about I, it's all about number one. And they gave me the whole thing. And I read that song, it's stupid. It's a stupider thing. And that's the way people are. They're just stupid. And all concerned about themselves. For men should be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. And my wife was saying to me, she said, isn't it something how the newer generations raising their kids? And I'm glad to see our families of the church raising their kids, right? But you see kids being raised. I was at that funeral watching these children, man, and being the way they've been raised. And that's the way I was being raised. But without natural affections, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce and despisers of those that are good. Just hate people that are good. Just hate people that just done right. And God's blessed them. They just hate. They hate them. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For this sort are they that creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. And that what's creeping into houses today is a lot of movies, a lot of junk like that. And, you know, you got the video and the cameras and all that stuff. It says, ever learning, never able to come to knowledge of truth. That's a sad statement. People always learning, but they don't know nothing. They're dumb as the day is long. Ever learning, never able to come to knowledge of truth. And it goes on, it tells you all this, you know, what's going to happen to the children of God. For they shall proceed no further and so on. Their folly shall be manifest unto all men. Now go to Hebrews chapter 3 for the sake of time. I got to get to this. And Hebrews chapter 3. And I'm going to preach on the world's greatest sin. What really sin? And I've preached this before here. The world's greatest sin. And the Bible says in the last days, men shall be, you know, be scoffers. They come scoffers mocking the word of God, mocking things. Even Christians doubting the word of God, mocking it. And I wrote down this years ago. It says, doubt your doubts before you doubt your belief. Doubt your doubts before you doubt your belief. And here we are living in a day and age of all this perilous times and all this stuff going on. And the Bible talks about your greatest sin. A lot of people think the greatest sin in the Bible is murder. Is murder? No, it isn't. They think the greatest sin is got to be adultery. It's got to be. I mean, David committed adultery. You know what's amazing about that? David, now God's not for adultery. He's not for that. But David committed adultery, and he asked God to forgive him. And chapter over in Chronicles, God does. He never even mentions it. And world's greatest sin is not adultery. It's not murder. It's not cursing. It's not stealing. Not drunkenness. It's not, you know, all these other things that people think. They think the greatest sin is this. But in God's eyes, the greatest sin is unbelief. Unbelief. And that's the greatest sin. And the greatest sin is just your unbelief. You know what Jesus said? Take your Bible, look in Mark chapter 9. Look in Mark chapter 9. Unbelief is one of the greatest sins. And see, the devil will try to keep you from reading this Bible, although you get so preoccupied, the world, the flesh, and the devil, and we got three enemies, and we know they're the world, flesh, and the devil. You get so preoccupied, and so your faith will not grow. Your faith will not grow at all. Now look at Mark chapter 9, look at verse 14. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people were that they, whom when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? Jesus walks up, and he sees the scribes out there and the Pharisees. They're all out there around his disciples. And he said, what are you all asking them? What are you talking to them about? And he said, the scribes, what question ye with them? And one of the multitudes answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. He said, and wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he is foamed and gnashed with the teeth, and he says, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he receiveth him, saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. This guy runs up, and he didn't care what the Pharisee thought. He didn't care what anybody thought. He had a child that needed help. And he brought this child that had a dumb spirit, and it was an unclean spirit, we know, from reading the Bible. He foamed at the mouth. He gnashed with his teeth, pining away. I mean, he just losing weight, not eating at all. And it says, and thy disciples couldn't cast him out. I mean, man, that's a sad thing. And Jesus looks at him and says, yo, you faithless generation. Man. Y'all, you've been with me how long? How long have I done all these things in front of you? And he answered him and saith, O faithless generation, verse 19, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit teared him. And he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. This guy, as soon as that unclean spirit saw Jesus, he fell down. I've seen people do this. I've been around it. And this guy fell down, started rolling around and foaming and tearing and everything else, had an unclean spirit in him. And Jesus, look at verse 21, and he asked his father, how long? He asked his father, he knew how long. He just asked it for a testimony in front of everybody there. He says, he asked him, his father, how long is it ago since that came unto him? And he said, of a child. I'm going to tell you something, man. You have a young man that's a teenager. You know, they get unclean spirits in them already. A lot of times teenagers do. But he says, from a child, this kid has been foaming at the mouth. I mean, this grinding his teeth, falling on the floor, throwing tantrums. That's what, you know, you see a little kid throw a little tantrum. I like to be there to help him out and take a belt to him. But Jesus looked at this kid and he said, how long has he been like this? And he said, from a child. And oftentimes they have cast him into the fire and then in the water. We were sitting beside a fire yesterday and we were concerned about the kids getting too close. And this unclean spirit would cast him in the fire. You know, that shows you the unclean spirits would definitely want to cast somebody into hell. And it says in the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. This guy was sincere and wanted help. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believe. Believe. The opposite of unbelief is belief. The opposite. And unbelief is a great sin to God. Especially when you have the ability to have faith in God and through the Word of God, by reading the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You can increase your faith. Then the Bible tells us without faith it is impossible to please God. Your faith gets stronger by reading the Word of God. Your belief gets stronger by reading the Word of God. And when Jesus saw the people came running together, look at verse 24. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said, with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. I've been praying that prayer. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Because there's times where you doubt God. You'll be in unbelief. You'll doubt. And he says, I believe, but thou help thou my unbelief. And when Jesus saw the people came together, running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, the dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore. That's why, you know, teenagers and everything, they throw a fit because they can't get their way. There's a spirit behind it. I'm not saying all of them are full of the devil. I'm not saying that, but there's a spirit behind it that leads this generation. The Bible talks about the spirit of this world. There's get in the kids, and there's a spirit that's pulling the kids. And, man, the Word of God is what's going to help to keep it down in their life or even heal them. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, saying, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto him, this kind cometh not forth but by prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. Unbelief is one of the worst sins anybody could ever have in their life. And that's why you pray, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Lord, help me to believe. And you're not going to have your beliefs get stronger by watching the television set or spending more time with the things of this world, reading books of no matter. My father-in-law used to come to see us, and Maria, his wife, I'd say is his wife, she would sit there in a room, and my kids know, she'd read all these love stories. She'd sit there and read all these love stories and read, and she didn't have no interest in the Bible. If that woman, she was a Jew, if that woman would have read the Word of God, she would have been something else for God. If she would have just read the Word of God, she had the ability to memorize. When we went and cleaned out the house, all the books that she had, all the love stories, all this stupid junk she had, and we, you know, so what did we do? We burned them. We burned that sucker, and we burned all of them, got rid of them. And unbelief hinders God's working in you, and it hinders God's work through you. It'll hinder you. And unbelief, Jesus talked about unbelief. Take your Bible, look in Mark 6:6. Look in Mark 6:6, and back to Mark. And we'll go to Matthew 13, too. Look in Mark 6:6. Unbelief will hurt you, man. It'll hurt you. And the devil knows how, you know, he knows how to keep you preoccupied, messing with things. He'll get you mad at God, and he'll get you upset with things that happen in your life. And then this is talking about Jesus Christ. And look what it says in verse 6, or verse 1. And he went out from hence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this that he giveth, has given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter's son, the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, and Judah and Simeon? And are not his sisters with us? That's a verse you need to mark in your Bible, because the Catholic Church tries to teach that Jesus Christ was a perpetual, or Mary was a perpetual virgin, and that he had no sons and daughters. Mary had him, and that was it. The Bible says this, that Jesus had brothers and sisters. And then you find some of his brothers and sisters believed on him. James, one of them. And they went, they were offended at him. And Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, among his own kin, in his own house. So that's why a lot of times people don't want to hear their relatives. They get mad at them because they know you well. But if you live for God in front of them, they'll listen to you after a while. They will. And he could there do no mighty works, save that he laid his hand upon a few sick folk, healed them. And it says, and he marveled because of their what? Unbelief. And he went around about the village teaching. Unbelief is a terrible sin to God. Unbelief. And you're supposed to be, we got this time now, we can spend time with the Lord and grow closer to him. We ought to be doing that. But are we? Are we doing that? Are you sitting at home saying, man, I'm just getting closer to God than I ever have in my life? Most of the time, it ain't true. I wondered about this when the church gets opened back up. I wonder how many people they were looking for an excuse to get out, and this is their excuse. They probably never come back to church. They'll probably never be back in the doors. They'll never come back. I mean, talking about churches all over this land. I think every church in this country is going to get hurt. I think every church, they're being hurt now, but I think every church in this country, you say, well, wouldn't that be something, a great revival? Man, that's good. That'd be a blessing. Wouldn't that be a blessing that the church gets full and come back and we'd have to go into the gym and all that? But I don't think that's going to happen. I think people are going to fall away. People already made up their mind. They're satisfied being at home and just, you know, we're talking about live stream. Maybe we ought to cut the live stream off when the church starts back up. And see who really going to come to church. But you know, it's reaching, actually the live stream is reaching people around the world, what I understand. But wouldn't that be something? I wonder if God's going to, when the church opens back up, when the state releases the pressure on the church and on the assemblies, that the church is going to fill back up. I doubt it. I really doubt it. You said, well, oh ye of unbelief. No, I just know where men are. Your people looking for excuse to get out. And look at this. Look at Matthew 13. And look at verse 53. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed hence. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in the synagogue. There's the same thing. And they were offended. They were talking about his relatives. And then verse 58, it says, and he did not many mighty works because of their unbelief. Unbelief. What a thing. I mean, as Christians, we're supposed to be going forward and growing. We're supposed to be getting closer to God. And we always say this every year, are you closer this year? Are you getting closer this year to God than you were last year? Most of the time, it ain't true. I've seen Christians get on fire for God, and I told Ro years ago, I said, most Christians only last 5 years. And Ro called me up the other day. I was at Sam's Club. He called me up, and he said, preacher, I've been watching online. And I said, did you hear the singing? He goes, no, I just bypass the singing, and I go right to the preaching. I said, man, listen to the singing. I said, Miss Sheila was on there, Ruth was on there, the other folks are singing on there, and everybody's singing on together. It's just 10 of us in here. I said, man, you ought to listen to singing. He goes, I'll go back and listen to it. And he said, I just want to get to the preaching. I just want to get there. He said, man, I miss the church. I miss it so bad. I said, aren't you got a good church out there? He said, yeah, it's a good church. But he said, it ain't Faith Baptist. Thank God. Thank God. I'm glad people, but I tell people, no matter if it ain't Faith Baptist, you ought to get in church somewhere. If you're going to church, you ought to be faithful as a Christian. And it says, look in Romans chapter 3, and we'll read verse 1. Romans 3, 1. What advantage hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because unto them were committed the oracles of God. He said, for what if some did not believe? But there, shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Shall their faith in God If some, say somebody don't believe. Some of you Christians right now sitting at home, you don't believe Jesus is coming back. You'll never receive the crown for loving his appearing. You don't believe he's coming. And some people even sitting in churches, they don't believe Jesus is coming. I believe he's coming. I believe he's coming. I really do. I believe he's coming. And I want to, I say, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. I want to believe you even more that you're coming. Every time the clouds part and I see the sun shining through, I look up and go, hey, man, maybe it's now. Maybe it's now. He says, and God forbid, yea, let God be true and every man a liar, as is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. I mean, I want to believe God. I want to believe his word. He said, and what if some did not believe? It makes no difference if they don't believe. But it makes a difference in their life. It makes a difference. If you don't believe God's word, it'll make a difference in your life. It'll make a difference in your husband, your wife's life. It'll make a difference in your children's life. It'll make a difference in your grandchildren's life. And on and on and on. I've been reading Jeremiah. Jeremiah's called the weeping prophet. And man, Jeremiah, reading through there, and man, Jeremiah's talking about backsliding Israel selling themselves out. And we got to go over to Israel, and we got to see where the 10 tribes split. And he talks about, I'm going to let them go into the land, and they're going to be taken captive. And then Judah, her sister, is that backsliding woman. And he's talking about, because of why Israel is God's bride. The church is Jesus Christ's bride. And man, the Lord says, I'm a divorcer. I'm just going to get rid of her. He feels bad, takes her back, because Israel's coming back. But he said, I'm a divorcer. I'm going to give her a written divorcement. And God divorced Israel, but he's going to take her back. But here, we went up to the northern tribe where Dan was, and they found the tribe where the tribe of Dan was, where Jeroboam set up the calf, the golden calf. And man, we went in there, and I told you this before, they have a seat where Jeroboam would sit, and all the kings after him would judge the people there. And the golden calf was there. And Brother Glenn was all video, and I got the video of it. And he said, why don't you, Alan, sit in the seat. Let me get a video of you, a picture of you. I said, I ain't sitting in that seat. I ain't sitting there. I don't know what might be attached to that seat. I don't want to pick up whatever it had. Why? You got to be careful, man. I want to believe. I want to believe God. I want to, man, stand on the belief of the word of God. I don't want to go in unbelief. And man, you get doubt in God. Jesus couldn't do many mighty works because they're unbelief. Unbelief hinders God's Lord's working in us. It'll shut out God's blessings. It'll shut it out. Look in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 19. They should have went into the promised land with faith and trust in God. They should have went in victorious the first time, not the second time. They should have went in, they should have went in, woo! Our God is with us. Our God is able to deliver us. We don't care about them giants. I don't care about what they said. I don't care what we look like against them. We're going in. That's the attitude of Joshua. That was the attitude of Caleb. But the other 10, what side are you on? What side are you on? I mean, the 10, they sat up there, we can't do it. No way. We can't do it. And fear came over everybody. Fear. Because of unbelief. They feared. And Caleb said, no, man, we can go in. Joshua said, we can go in. And God says, that's it. Man, that's it. Doubt in God. Unbelief. Look in Hebrews 3:19. He says, so you see that they could not enter in because of what? Unbelief. Unbelief. God brought them out of Egypt. He destroyed Pharaoh and all his army, the greatest army in all the world at that time. And he brought plagues on Egypt. Man, those plagues wiped out Egypt. They wiped them out. Just God used nature to wipe out a whole army and country. Nature. You know what the Lord could do to America? He could use nature to wipe us out. You can have all the army, all the modern technology, God can still use nature to wipe it out. You gonna believe God? I believe him. I believe what he said. I want to believe him. Lord, I believe. I speak as a fool. I believe, but I will help my unbelief. Help me to believe you even more. And help my belief in your word get stronger. My faith get stronger. It hinders God's blessings in your life. You can't, man, you walk around worrying all the time. Man, when you ought to be singing blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. We ought to be singing praises to him. I mean, you said, well, what about the pandemic? I'm concerned about it. I know there's people that have it. I know people got it. And I know Miss Carla had it. Brother Ron had it. And I'm bothered by it. But I tell you what, man, we can't let that stop us from serving God. It can't let that stop. I know Brother Ron's not stopping serving God. He's still telling people how good God is. He sent me a message. He's saying the blessings of God. Amen. You know what it'll do? Unbelief will cause the blessings of God to be hindered in your life and shut it out. Unbelief keeps back blessings from others. I mean, children, grandchildren, down the line. It'll keep back blessings. Man, like I talked about the 10 spies, Jonah. And men, disciples, they couldn't cast out this devil out of a man. They couldn't cast him out because of unbelief. In Mark chapter 6, they couldn't, or Mark chapter, 9, they couldn't cast out the devil. And Jesus was, man, disappointed in them. I mean, can you imagine the Lord walking up to us in heaven and looking at you and saying, what? I did all that. I took care of you from the time, I mean, you were born. God took care of us and allowed us to hear the word of God and got saved. God knew that. He knows all things. Like Peter said, Lord, you know all things. I mean, God knows. He knows where you're at. I'm going to tell you something. You ought to be getting 2020. We ought to be getting stronger. We started out this year saying, 2020, we're going to do better. We're going to do better. And then the pandemic hit. My wife and I was in California in December, and they said they realized now. They realize now that the pandemic was probably in California way before people knew it, way before. I mean, it'll keep back blessings from others. I mean, brother, unbelief. Let me ask you something. Are you growing? Are you growing closer to God? It causes you to leave God. You know, the Bible tells us, go to Hebrews 3. Look at this. Hebrews 3. It says in verse 12, he says, or back up to verse 7, he said, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, is today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation. He was grieved with a whole generation of people. And the Bible says David served his generation. My generation was pretty bad. But the generation is getting worse and worse and worse when it comes to belief in God. That's why churches are emptying out. That's why the millennials, and they're not training their kids to love God and serve God. Maybe this pandemic shakes some of that stuff up. But I'll tell you what, I know that's going to do that. The devil, like I said, God means it for good. The devil means it for bad. God's going to shake up some of that lost people to make them think about it. But what happens to Christians? The devil's going to use it against us where you get defeated, not serve God in unbelief. And he says, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. So I swear to my wrath, they shall not enter in my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Departing from God. I mean, Christian, I hope you're making up your mind. You, like that song says, I got my mind made up, my foot on the rock and my mind made up. I hope you done made up your mind that you're not going to depart from God. Amen. You're not going to depart from the church, being close to the church and being faithful to the church and reading your Bible. The prodigal son thought he had the answers, man. And a lot of Christians think they got the answer. Or I'm better off without the church. I'm better off without the Bible. I'm better off the way I live. And you just watch the end results. I've been around now, pastoring 33 years, going on 34. I've been around. I've seen what people do. I've seen people get saved, get on fire for God. Man, they were on fire for God. God was blessing them in every which way. And then they decide, well, they get some bitterness or something comes in their life, some trial, some testing, and they back away from God. And they start backing away, and before long, they'll start accusing people that's trying to do right, living right, talking about them and all that stuff, and they'll get bitterness in their hearts, and they'll depart from God. They say, well, I'm all right. You know how you walk by somebody, you try to give them a tract, and you say, hey, man, I'll give you something to tell you about Jesus Christ. They'll say, I'm good. No, you ain't. You ain't good. If you're not saved, you're not good. If you're not living for God, you're not good. People say, oh, I'm all right. And don't let this pandemic get you, a child of God, away from God. Don't let that use that fear to keep you away from the Word of God, trusting the Lord, growing closer to Him. And when the church opens back up, wear a mask. Come to church. Wear gloves. I don't care if you wear a hazmat suit. I don't care what you wear. But make sure you come to church. Why? Because the Bible commands us to. Get a hazmat suit. That'd be fine. I'll just laugh when you come in the door. I wore a mask the whole time, this thing going on. And I've hugged Brother Ron. I've hugged different people. I've been around. You said, well, you might be a carrier. I don't know. But I'm trusting the Lord. You said, well, Brother Kenny Baldwin got it. Brother Gary Lucher got it. That doesn't, you know, they're trusting God too. They had it. They trust God. Guess what? God got them through it. Miss Carla trusted the Lord, but now she's home. And why? She was in pain. She was hurting. She wanted to go home. She wanted to go home. And God gave her what she wanted. She went home to be with Jesus. You know what? She is no more pain now.
Amen.
She's walking the streets of gold. She ain't worried about nothing, man. She ain't worried about the bills. She ain't worried about Ron pestering her anymore. Hallelujah. What a blessing. I'm kidding you, Ron. Unbelief condemns a sinner. A person won't believe God, won't believe His word. I'm glad. Aren't you glad that you believe the Lord of God, that you're dying and going to hell? You just say, people say, well, I don't believe you ought to get saved because you believe you're going to hell. I think that's a pretty good reason. Why? You know, I knew I was going to hell. I'm glad I got saved. You say, well, you don't have to scare people into heaven. If I could, I would. If I could scare people into heaven, I would, man. They'll be thanking me that I scared them. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you what, it's a real place. Hell's a real place. Heaven's a real place. Unbelief condemns a sinner. The Bible says, take your Bible, look in John chapter 3. This is very simple. Even a child can understand this. My grandchildren are trying to win people to Jesus Christ. That's a blessing to me. And they'll come to me and say, Papa, I prayed with so-and-so, and they got saved. I said, praise the Lord. Good. And they'll tell me about somebody they prayed with, and they got saved. You think, well, did they really understand? Did they really repent and all that? I'm just glad that they want to see people saved. I'm glad of that. John chapter 3, look at verse 30. Back up to verse 30. They went out of the city and came unto him. And in the meanwhile, the disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. And he said unto them, I have meat that ye to eat that ye know not of. Jesus, man, I love reading that. When I first got saved, all I could read, I'd learned how to read by reading the book of John. Because my wife was helped me to learn how to read, and John was the simplest book. And I was reading John. I got to a place where I couldn't read through the book of John without weeping and crying, thanking the Lord for saving me, thanking Him for His mercy, and got me where I wanted to see other people saved. And then it says in verse 33, therefore said His disciples to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? And Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And the Lord's telling his disciples, man, look at it. And it says, and he saith, I'm in chapter 4. I'm reading chapter 4. I'm sorry. But that was good too. Hallelujah. I was ready to preach on that. But look at chapter 3 and verse 31. It says, he cometh from above. He that cometh from above is above all. And he that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth. I need to get more light up here. And it says, no man receiveth this testimony. He that receiveth the testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. And he, for he whom God hath sent, speaketh the words of God. And for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. For the Father loved the Son and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Belief. The opposite, unbelief. Jesus couldn't do many mighty miracles because they're unbelief. They would not believe. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Unbelief, one of the worst sins there ever was. Unbelief. As a Christian, unbelief in our lives keeps back God's work, hinders the blessings of God in our lives, hinders the blessing for you being a blessing to somebody else. My Lord, unbelief will send people to hell. Let me ask you something. How's your belief this morning? How's your belief in God? I mean, you getting closer to him? You have a desire? Is something hindering you? It's unbelief. Unbelief insults God. It just insults him. I mean, if you want to insult people, you know, some people know how to insult people, go around and just insult them and say bad things to them. But for a child of God, if you want to insult God, just don't believe him. Don't believe what he said. When the Bible gives 3,600 some promises in the Word of God, and you say, I don't believe it. I don't believe God. I don't believe God can take care of me. When he said, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Because of unbelief, they refused. And God is insulted by their unbelief. You know what? You know what Isaiah went and told Hezekiah? You know what made Hezekiah a great man? He said, God said that Sennacherib was not going to shoot one arrow into Jerusalem, not one. Hezekiah said, okay, I believe it. God sent an angel that night, wiped out 185,000 men. I don't know if you ever, can you imagine 1,000 people? And man, we've had, you know, close to 1,000 in that gym. That's packed. And man, can you imagine 185,000 one night? When Sennacherib broke up the next morning, they were all dead men. Hezekiah believed God. That was Old Testament. What about New Testament? New Testament Christians ought to be believing God more. We ought to believe that God's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we ask or think. God's able. Unbelief insults God. God says, lost men, they don't believe God's word. They don't believe he's going to able to deliver the goods. They don't believe anything. They just believe, you know, educated men. They think, oh, I did this by my own knowledge. I did this by my own ability. God gave you that ability. God gave you that knowledge. But unbelief in the Word of God. I'm glad I wasn't raised in China. I'm glad, thank God, I wasn't raised in China. I'm glad I wasn't raised in India. I mean, I realized God could send missionaries, which he has, around the world. God sent missionaries to China so people could hear the Word of God. God sent missionaries in North Korea, South Korea, and they say the biggest churches in the world right now are in South Korea. Thousands upon thousands. And they, man, that they're still preaching the Bible. And man, there's people, Doc taught us in Bible school that the Holy Ghost moves east to west. East to west. It's like the earth moved west to east. The sun goes east to west. And what God did, his spirit went over this whole earth. You know, the Bible tells us that in the latter times, when Moses and Elijah and 144,000, everybody's going to hear the word of God again around the world. They'll hear it. Whether they believe or not is up to them. Whether they believe. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Unbelief insults God. Unbelief seals a sinner's forever. Seals a sinner in hell. Jesus said, you won't believe. Here's the Pharisees and Sadducees standing there looking at the bread of life, looking at the door to heaven. They're looking at him. And they knew who he was. Unbelief. Thank God Nicodemus believed him. Thank God others have believed on him. Thank God they did. And then, you know, Joseph of Arimathea. Man, thank God they believed on him. Man, what a blessing that is. But man, if a man's not saved, maybe you're watching the thing by accident this morning. If you're not saved, you're going to bust hell wide open. You're going to, man, fry like a hamburger in a frying pan. Worse than that. I can't imagine that. I can't imagine people. You say, why would a good God, why would a God that loves, why would God send somebody to hell? God doesn't send you to hell. You make that choice. He gives you a choice, heaven or hell. It's your choice. You come to him. All you got to do is believe. Trust him. You know, little children, like my grandson was telling me, he called on the Lord, asked the Lord to save him. And what they'll tell you, they got saved. All, you have to come to the Lord like a little child. A little child. Just believe God. I mean, faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Your faith is increased in belief in the word of God. The truth. Man, I've got a statue of Buddha at the house that we brought from Linda's dad's house. We was going to shoot it and blow it apart, you know. But Linda wanted to hold on to it so we can use it for our missions conference, our missions ladies meeting. And we've got it. And what I did, I put it out back. I don't want it in the house, around the house. I put it out back somewhere on in the junk pile. That's where it belongs. And you tell some Buddhists that, they probably want to kill you over that. But man, Jesus Christ is the answer. He's the one that died for you. He's the one that paid your sin debt. He's the one that loved you enough to die. He's the one. Are you believing in him? You believe the word of God? He that hath the Son hath life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You want God's wrath or you want God's blessing? That's up to you. He sent his Son to pay us an awful debt. Jesus took the sins of the whole world upon himself so you wouldn't have to die and go to hell. You know, I tell people this. If one person, if it was only one person, he would have went to hell for that one person. He died. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. All it takes is you believe in God, believe his word. The night I got saved, I wasn't even looking for God. I could still see it running out of a parole meeting, punching my cross in the mouth, jumping in the car, going down the road, cursing like a wild man. Ducked down the seat, and John Garner hit third gear and asked me, you want to go to a revival meeting? And I said, what the blank is that? Never heard revival in my life. I'm glad somebody cared. I'm glad somebody was cared enough to tell me. My mind went back the night I got saved. My brother used to tell me about Jesus Christ, but he couldn't show me nothing in the Bible. Man, I'm glad. I'm so thankful. I am so thankful for what God did for me.
Amen.
I could tell you, take me a million lifetimes to thank him for his mercy. I look back on that night, I can still see it. I even dreamed about it, thinking, man, when I was sitting in a chair, I wasn't on my knees, and I repeated a prayer, but I meant it. I tell people all the time, this prayer is not magical, but if you mean it, God will hear you. And I'll never forget, I sat in that chair, and that preacher started showing me from the Bible, and I was a sinner. I couldn't even read it. I just kept saying, I didn't want nobody to know I couldn't read. I said, yeah, y'all see that. And he said, would you like to ask him? I said, yes, sir, I sure would. I said, I don't know how to pray, man. When my brother was killed, I said, you blankety blank, if you're up there, I want to know. But that night, he said a prayer, and I repeated it. And I said, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve to go to hell. I'm asking you, forgive me. Save me. And he said, thank him for it. I went, thank you, Lord, for saving me. I knew something happened. I couldn't explain it, but I knew something happened. I went to a party after that night. I went down there, party. Everybody's drinking, doing drugs. I walked in, turned the lights on. I got in three fights because I was trying to make people get saved. I said, hey, man, I just got saved. They said, shut up, man. Turn the lights out. Shut up. Here's a beer. I said, I don't want to drink no more. Man, you talking about just turned to a wild man. John Garner said he pulled up. I had a guy on the street, beating his brains and telling him he needed to get saved right there. Belief. God wants you to believe. You insult God by unbelief. Father, we thank you, God, this morning. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for being so good. My Father, I pray, God, that you bless your word. Father, just a simple message of unbelief. God, help us like that man that, Lord, God, his son was healed. He said, cried. The Bible says he cried and said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Lord, I pray, help my brothers and sisters this morning. We all believe, Lord, but help our